To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
There is little doubt that you are experiencing the consequences of being normal every day. There is considerable doubt that you are aware of those consequences, because only the deliberately trained mind can become aware of, first of all, what's going on in the moment, and secondly, our behavior or misbehavior in the moment. And on the basis that science tells us that about 96% of people are using their minds automatically, in other words, are unaware, as I said, there's a very slim chance indeed that you are aware of the consequences of being normal from which you are suffering every day. And of course, before we get into the consequences of being normal, we can only begin to address the issues that being normal raises for us once we begin to become aware of those issues. Awareness of any problem in our lives is the start of the journey to remedying those problems, regardless of whether those problems are related to your health or fitness or weight or your job or the way in which you behave or misbehave yourself, regardless of the problems that we have in life or the addictions, for example, that we might have in life. We can only start remedying the consequences of those misbehaviors, as I said, when we become aware of them. But most people are blissfully unaware, blissfully being completely the wrong word. Because the consequences of being normal are life-threatening. Yes, to be normal is to be constantly in reactive mode. Everything is a reaction. We react to what we think is going on. And of course, the minute we react to anything, we often end up doing things or saying things that we regret. And we may immediately regret something that we have done or said, but of course, regret is us thinking about something that we thought about automatically, doing in the first place by way of an automatic reaction. And regret only adds to the spiral of overthinking that is the norm for the normal mind. When we regret, we may slip into guilt. And again, guilt is just the product of an overthinking normal mind. We've talked before in this podcast about things like loneliness, for example, and how people often tell me that they feel lonely or they feel stuck or they feel that they are missing their lives or that they are waiting for something to happen. And all of the things that I have just said that people tell me about are all the product of thought. They are all the consequences of being normal. Because when we are normal, when we are using the mind that evolution gave us, the mind that is designed to enable us to survive and make it through the day from one day to the next, when we are using our mind that way, in fact, our mind is using us, or perhaps more to the point, our mind is abusing us. As we've said before, all thinking leads to overthinking. Positive thinking leads to negative thinking. And as we said last week, positive thinking is just another form of thinking. You'd be better off not thinking at all because, again, as we've explored in detail using examples over the last couple of weeks, we are at our best when we do not have time to think. So our job in life needs to be to ensure that we give ourselves the space in the here and now to not think, but instead to be. Because the alternative is not to be. It's the difference between life and death. Unless you are fully tuned into the here and now, unless you are fully present, unless you are not thinking and overthinking. You are as good as dead. Now, I don't scare the living daylights out of people, but then again, 96% of people don't have any living daylights, do they? They are simply plodding from one day to the next. You, me, we're all burdened with the brain that evolution gave us. But as I said a couple of minutes ago, once we become aware of that and we begin to become aware of the consequences of that, it is incumbent upon us to take responsibility for our own state of mind. And indeed, that's what every single episode in this podcast, stretching back over 5 years, is all about, taking charge of your own state of mind. Because when we do that, the power that that gives us is transformative. Now, we'll come back to transforming your life in a couple of minutes. I want to dwell for a couple of minutes on why you need to transform your life, because if you don't, you're going to continue to suffer the consequences of being normal. And suffer is an appropriate word. Because for starters, when we think about ourselves. We end up judging ourselves. We don't think that we're judging ourselves, because thinking about ourselves and judging ourselves is something that goes on day in, day out, and has been going on day in, day out since we were 12 or 13 years of age, when we used the prejudices that we learned about ourselves have been encased in stone, when the shutters have come down on our learning minds as a result of the brain's center of conscious awareness, or the attentional spotlight, as it is otherwise known, shuts down at the age of 12 or 13 years of age. When the evolutionary mind has got us ready to go out hunting and gathering for tonight's dinner. When the evolutionary mind has ensured that the only thing we are aware of in our lives is a threat to our lives. That kind of mind, that kind of brain, is no use to us in the 21st century. It is that kind of mind, that normal mind that evolution gave us, that ensures that we do suffer the consequences of being normal. That suffering starts with the way in which we burden ourselves with our own misgivings about ourselves. That suffering continues when those misgivings give rise to our belief that we can't do things that we know we need to do to change our lives. That suffering is compounded by how, as a result of not doing the things that we know we need to do to change our lives because we think we can't, we end up being stuck in our lives, or worse, going backwards in our lives. Now, of course, all of this is the result of thought. It's as simple as that, because everything starts with how you think about yourself, not how you feel about yourself. How you think you feel about yourself is how you think you feel about yourself. You see, the automatic mind, the mind that evolution gave us, spins 70,000 thoughts on a loop through our largely subconscious mind during the course of the day. And that feeds the misgivings that we have about ourselves. These misgivings are, from an evolutionary point of view, well placed, because it keeps us on our toes, aware of life-threatening situations. But how many life-threatening situations do we come across in the modern world, unless we are in some war-torn part of the world in which we are probably living on our wits rather than on our thoughts? Nobody wants to be subject to a hail of bombs or drones to actually come to their senses. We need, as people who are considering perhaps living a better life for ourselves, we need to do this for ourselves. We shouldn't have to have it thrust upon us by, as we said last week, an emergency, or as we're talking about here now, a life-threatening situation. Bereft of life-threatening situations, ordinary everyday life for the vast majority of people in the developed world is a routine affair. It's a routine affair that is born out of thought, thinking that one day is much the same as the next. No 2 minutes are the same as each other. The breath you're taking now is a breath you've never taken before, and one you will never take again. But we're not aware of this, because we're on It's a very slippery slope. We're on this everyday slippery slope of simply making it through the day, and then scratching our heads when it comes to the year end, when we begin to think about plans we might have for the year ahead, scratching our heads and wondering why little has changed, or perhaps why nothing has changed, and we actually feel the worse for nothing changing. Now, everything is changing moment to moment. And that provides us with an opportunity to grasp the moment, to embrace change, embrace the opportunity for change moment to moment. But again, we can't do that if we're using our minds normally and suffering the consequences of being normal. As I said a minute ago, I don't want to scare the living daylights out of you, but one of the key consequences of being normal is that you are, as we speak, shortening your life. Because when we think about ourselves, it leads to stress. It's as simple as that. Thinking about ourselves doesn't lead to joy for the normally minded person, because our predisposition is to think negatively about ourselves. I explained why that is from an evolutionary point of view just a minute ago. So when we think about ourselves, largely, as I said, subconsciously, we are dripping cortisol into our system, the stress neurotransmitter. And what that does is it impedes our cardiovascular, digestive and immune systems. And it shortens our lives. It leads to cardiovascular disease. It leads to cancer. It leads to digestive problems. It leaves our immune system compromised. The World Health Organization believes that low-level everyday background stress, and because it is low level and everyday, you're not aware of it. It's just part and parcel of the way in which you think or overthink your way through the day. But the World Health Organization believes that that is shortening the normal life by 7 years. And even were it not shortening the normal life, it is destroying the quality of life for normal people, because they end up with irritable bowel syndrome or indigestion in the middle of the night, or stomach ulcers, or high cholesterol or high blood pressure, or catch colds more often than they could, or pick up diseases that their immune system would be able to cope with were it not compromised by low-level everyday stress. So one of the key consequences of being normal is that your health is suffering straight away. And that's the reality of the situation. It isn't that your health might suffer in the future. It isn't that low-level background stress will accumulate over the years and shorten your life when you're in your 70s. Low-level background stress is compromising your health and well-being here and now, as a result of which the quality of your life is diminished. And could I even call it the quality of your life? Because if you're using your mind normally, you're not present in your life. And if you're not present in your life, in the here and now, you're missing your life. And what you're actually experiencing, if that is even the right word, is survival from one day to the next. Muddling through from one day to the next. Reacting to things that you think are going on. Reacting to who you think you are, as a result of which who you think you are is reacting to things that you think are going on. So obviously too much thinking going on. With the result that you are thinking your way from one moment to the next and actually missing each moment along the way, because you're living your life in your own head. You're not living your life in reality. And until you start living your life in reality, you're missing your life. Until you start living your life in the reality of the here and now, you're not going to be able to substantially change anything in your life. And even if you were insubstantially able to change stuff in your life, the change would come with effort, because effort comes from thinking about what I need to do to move my life forward. Most people, when they do think about moving their lives forward, think that the things that they would like to experience in their lives are unrealistic for the little old me that we think we are as a result of the way in which the normal mind works. These are all the life-threatening consequences of being normal. You're living a half-life, if even that is the case, when you are using your mind normally. And you're not aware of it, for starters, because it's so normal and everyday for you, but also because it is so normal and everyday for almost all of the people that you encounter in your life, who are all living in the shadows of their own inner world. Now, psychology tells us, and indeed neuroscience tells us as well, that your inner world creates your outer world. But if you're stuck in your inner world, that's where you're stuck. And the whizzing thoughts that go on a loop around in your head in that inner world are creating a version of reality for you that isn't real. As a result of which, you're trying to change something that actually doesn't exist. You're trying to change something from a starting point where you know you can't change it because you haven't had any real experience or evidence to suggest that you can change your life substantially, I mean. And you're gradually going downhill to an early grave. I'm sorry, they're the facts of the matter. It's as simple as that. Now, you're not aware of it, as I said. Most people are not aware of it. 96% of people, according to science, are not aware of this. And if you're not aware of it, there's nothing you can do about it until, for starters, you become aware of how your mind is working. In other words, you need to become aware to the point where you can catch yourself thinking about yourself, for starters. Now, this is actually easy. You don't need to go off and train your mind in some new way, although that is what this podcast is all about, and I'll get on to that in a minute because that is transformative. But stop for a minute and consider how you feel about yourself. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, how you feel about yourself is actually not how you feel about yourself. It's how you think you feel about yourself. But stop for a minute and ask yourself, what do you think about you? How do you feel about your weaknesses and your strengths? How do you feel about your life today? How do you feel about your ability to say the right things and move forward? Or have you ever found yourself tripping yourself up or stopping yourself from doing something or saying something that you think would be something too big for you, or something that you wouldn't get away with, or something that is simply beyond your capability? Reflect for a few minutes on how you feel about yourself. I've been doing this for over 30 years, and with most people with whom I work, I would ask them very early on whether or not they think they are perfect. Do you think you're perfect? Now, the inevitable answer is, of course, I don't think I'm perfect. In fact, anybody who would think they are perfect, there's actually something wrong with them, because nobody thinks they are perfect. It's simply the way in which the mind is designed by evolution. But you actually are perfect. I'm perfect. The you, the real you, and as we explained in last week's episode, this is the real you beyond thought. The real you is an integral part of the universe. Your body is actually flowing energy. No, I'll correct myself. If you're using your mind normally, your body is not flowing energy. That's how you end up with cardiovascular and digestive problems. That's how you get cardiovascular disease and cancer. That is how you get stomach ulcers. That is how you put on extra weight. But the real you is somebody else. And the real you can only begin to put in an appearance in your everyday life when you stop to consider who is not the real you. In other words, answer the questions that I asked you a moment ago with regard to how you feel about yourself, or more to the point, how you think about how you feel about yourself. Everything that you think about yourself is wrong, even the good stuff, by the way. Because everything we think about ourselves was learned through a process known as snapshot learning, as a result of how we felt about ourselves when people did things to us or for us when we were young and impressionable. Every single thought you have about yourself is wrong. Every single thought you have about yourself isn't even a figment of your own imagination. It is as a result of the warped imagination of the normal crazy people who did things to you or for you when you were young and impressionable. In particular, your parents. Because if your parents were normal crazy people, and there's a 96% chance that they were, with the best of intentions, they still said things and did things to you that made you feel bad about yourself, that diminished your own self-esteem, if I can use that phrase. When you were young and impressionable, you took psychological snapshots of how you felt at that moment, and that is what generates the thought about how you think you feel about yourself here and now. So everything you think about yourself is wrong. Every single thing, your strengths and weaknesses. You need to discover you beyond thought. And that does require some training. Now, it doesn't require that you go off to some boot camp or off onto some retreat. You know, if you're really serious about this, you might sign up to the Psychology of Success online program. You'll find details of that in the links that go in your podcast with this episode. But the training is nothing major. The training is something anybody can do. It's something that you can start doing the minute you finish this podcast. The training might appear to be insignificant, but its significance is, as we said earlier on, transformative. And I'll explain why in just a minute. The training is meditation. Now, I know, and I've said it on many occasions before, and people are still saying to me, first of all, meditation isn't for me. That's nonsense. If you can breathe, you can meditate. People only say that who think meditation isn't for them, and that's only another form of self-destructive thinking, isn't it? Other people have said to me, oh, it's a spiritual practice. But we talked about mind, body and spirit and soul in last week's episode. Everything we're talking about here has to do with your spirit and soul to some extent by virtue of the fact that we're actually talking about you beyond thought. You as, in reality what you are, a free-flowing, integral piece of universal energy. So many people will say, listen to this, this is a good one. I don't have time to meditate in the morning. Now, I'm only suggesting that you meditate for 7 or 8 minutes. This is the best one, actually, that I've ever heard. People don't have time to meditate in the morning because they're going to the gym. Now, first of all, there is research that proves conclusively that if you meditated before going to the gym, you would burn more fat quicker and build more lean muscle quicker. In other words, if you meditate, if you mentally exercise before you physically exercise, your physical exercise is going to be boosted big time. But who would put their physical fitness before their mental fitness? When you consider that if you're not mentally fit, you're slowly killing yourself. It doesn't make sense. And yet, I've heard it all over the years. Oh, meditation isn't for me. I can't do this. I can't do that. I've tried meditation and it hasn't made any difference. I don't have time to meditate. I'll meditate in the evenings, which you don't do, by the way. Meditation turns you on. You don't want to be turning yourself on and jizzing yourself up at 9 o'clock at night. Your body is getting ready to give yourself a good night's sleep to the extent that, and research proves this as well, as a result of the good night's sleep, you rejuvenate your brain, you clear out the muck from the day's mental activity that would otherwise cake on the synapses in your brain and lead to dementia and Alzheimer's. Oh, another consequence of being normal crazy. Should have mentioned it earlier on. We meditate to enable ourselves experience what it feels like to be present in the moment. That's what meditation is all about. And even though people would say to me, oh, I tried meditation and it has made no difference, neuroscience would say something completely and utterly different. Because the minute you start meditating, you start restructuring the subcortical components of the brain. Those parts of the brain that enable you go do without thinking about it. Liberation, transformation, as I said earlier on. And it isn't that your life transforms in some magical way. It is as a result of your transforming your own neural pathways, synapses, neural components, and the way in which they communicate with each other. It is as a result of that that you start doing what you need to do to move your life forward without thinking about it. It's very easy to do things that we think that little old me wouldn't or couldn't do when we don't think about whether little old me could or couldn't do it. It's very easy to do what we need to do when, as I said earlier on, we don't have time to think about it. It's up to us to decide that I'm not going to give myself the time to think. I am going to give myself the time to be. And the time to be is here and now. It's the only time to be. It's the only place and time where our lives are being lived. And that's why I said earlier on, if you haven't turned up to the here and now, you're as good as dead. You're missing your life. Your life is passing you by. And not only is your life passing you by, you're doing damage to your physical health. Never mind the fact that your mental health is not what it should be either. But most importantly, you're not allowing your own vital energy flow freely in a way in which it communicates with universal energy and allows what you need fall into your path as you move forward from one now to the next. This is where the transformation takes place. As I said earlier on, the breath you're taking now is a breath you've never taken before and one that you will never take again. Until you become aware of that, you are only encouraging the brain that evolution gave you to continue to beat you up moment to moment, to continue to do you damage moment to moment, to continue to divorce you from the reality of what is truly going on in the here and now. And what's truly going on in the here and now is we are swimming in a sea of energy. We're swimming in a sea of opportunity. We are co-creators of opportunity by doing just what we need to do without thinking about it, by intuitively knowing what is best to do. We talked about reaction earlier on in this episode and how when we're using our minds normally, we are constantly reacting to what we think is going on. It's all thought-based because our reactions come from our thoughts, and in particular, the thoughts that we think about ourselves. And the thoughts that we think about ourselves that generate our reactions are enabling us react to not only what we think is going on, but what we think about what we think is going on, and how we think about who we think we are thinks about what we think is going on. This is how thinking leads to overthinking. This is how people end up regretting, feeling guilty, feeling annoyed, frustrated, anxious, fearful, and obviously the killer, stressed. There's a whole new world happening before your very eyes, and all you have to do is open them. We open them by allowing ourselves experience the reality of the here and now through a few minutes meditation in the morning. But, as I said, in this episode, and as I elaborated upon in last week's episode, meditation is just the training. We use meditation to allow ourselves experience the moment so that during the cut and thrust of the day, we are able to experience the reality of the moment, as a result of which we know what we need to do in the moment. Regardless of what's going on in the moment, I'll come back to that in a moment. We're able to do just what we need to do in the moment without thinking about it, as a result of which we transform our lives moment to moment. Now, I'm not talking about pivotal moments in our lives or what people think of as pivotal moments in their lives. I'm not talking about the big things that we have to do in our lives. I'm talking about the little things. Because our lives are lived moment to moment. You have to do what you have to do now, like your life depends upon it, because it actually does. First of all, your ability to turn up to your life, and secondly, your ability to create the kind of life you'd love to experience. Free of the thoughts that tell you you can't. Free of the thoughts that tell you little old you doesn't deserve it. You need to do what is required of you now. And that may be cleaning a toilet. It's picking the kids up from school. It's making the dinner. It's making a presentation. It's sitting at an interview. It's riding the bus to work, taking the train home, digging the garden, brushing your hair, showering, brushing your teeth. You have to do what you have to do now. Because when we turn up to this here and now, it sets us off on a new trajectory whereby we are increasingly likely to turn up to the next here and now, the next one after that, the next one after that. So we're present when something big happens, or we're present when we need to do something big, and we're present to the point that we can do something big without thinking that we can't. Now, on the other hand, having listened to this, now that you're aware of the fact that you're killing yourself slowly if you're using your mind normally, now that you're aware of the consequences of being normal, and we've only covered some of the consequences here, obviously, but now that you're aware of that, you have a choice. You could, of course, just decide, I'm going to continue to amble along, be annoyed with myself, think little of myself, or think the worst of myself, and I'm going to plod from one day to the next. And by the way, I'll wreck a few other people's lives along the way as well. You have a responsibility to take charge of your own state of mind. And the responsibility isn't just to yourself, because as we become more present, as we have presence, not only does that transform our lives, but it transforms the dynamic of the relationships that we have with those around us. It transforms the lives of those who are close to us. It could transform the life of somebody that you meet at the bus stop tomorrow morning, because presence lifts. Now, what we don't want to do is be absent from our own lives. Choice is yours, moment to moment. This is your life.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.